So, does Benny Hinn need to repent? And if so, of what?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. It's going to be an important show today. Tell a friend, if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead, click thumbs up, and then go ahead and share it, like on Facebook, and share. If you're listening on radio, podcast, tell a friend. I think it's going to be an important broadcast, and I want to do my best to be as clear as possible. The number to call, if we get to calls, I'm not sure we'll be able to because of content, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Those watching online, you may wonder why we have commercial breaks. This is a live radio broadcast that is also live streamed, so there are stops and starts along the way. We'll do our best to get in the maximum content in the time that we have. I'll give the background as to why this is coming up now and why I'm addressing this. But just in case this is all of the broadcast that you get and you're going to tune out, yes, categorically, without question, Benny Hinn must repent at the very least of carnal manipulative fundraising, which he himself has renounced but has gone back to again and again, and at the very least of false prophecies that were given without accountability or public repentance or change. At the very least, those two things. We'll come back to this. We'll discuss things in greater depth. But I want to go back to 2019 and play this video for you. It's slightly sped up, but it's a long video. But it's me on the broadcast talking about Benny Hinn, prosperity gospel, etc. This goes back to 2019. Let's listen together.
And I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. And I'm correcting my own theology, and you need to all know it.
All right. Benny Hinn has recently renounced carnal prosperity teaching, and in particular, carnal manipulative fundraising efforts. Things that he taught, things that he participated in, things that he often led the way in years past, saying he was wrong, saying he recognized he was wrong earlier on, but he didn't want to offend his friends. Now, I have a little history that ties in, and I want to share this. And my heart is always to hope for the best, to believe for the best. So as Benny Hinn has said these things, and we'll hear some more clips, I'm cheering him on. I'm saying, let it be, let it be, let it be. I'm not questioning motivation. I'm saying, let it be so. Let it be that there's a real renouncing of error. Let it be that there's a real repudiation of other things that have been a stench in God's nostrils. Let it be. But before I give you my back history, let's hear more of what Benny Hinn had to say. Clip number two.
Because when I read the Bible now, I don't see the Bible in the same eyes I saw the Bible 20 years ago. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it.
All right. Rather than throwing stones at him, you should say, I'm glad, sir, that you're saying this and doing this and saying that he was wrong. About 5 years ago, I appeared on his television show. I did four shows about messianic prophecy and tied in with my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. But the main reason I accepted the invitation to go on was I wanted to get the message of hyper-grace out to his TV audience. You say, well, you shouldn't have been on at all. It made you look bad. I understand the criticism, and I'm open to that criticism, whether it was the right decision to go on or not. But what happened was that hyper-grace show never aired. We recorded four whole shows on messianic prophecy, Real Kosher Jesus, and then the fifth show on hyper-grace never aired. It never had, not because he didn't agree with what I was saying, but because this was going to go out to many people on network, and maybe he could deal with it in other ways and speak to people face-to-face. Whatever the reason was, God knows the exact reason. Instead of my show being on that Friday, the last day of the broadcast, it was a carnal fundraising manipulative show that was on. Subsequently, some months later,
Just the one and only time I had conversation contact with Benny Hinn before that show, none after. I haven't seen him, spoken with him since. Some months later, a well-known critic of Benny Hinn, Justin Peters, wrote to me, pleading with me to watch a clip where an alleged prophet appeared on Benny Hinn's TV show, urging everyone to give $500. And for everyone who gave $500, there would be protection from a coming disaster. I believe the disaster was going to come September of that year. That if you gave $500, you, your family, kids, grandkids will all be protected. It was one of the worst, most grievous, manipulative offerings I've seen. I'm sure there have been many, many worse. I just haven't seen them. But, I mean, you're going to be protected from disaster? Come on. If you give a certain amount, what if you only give half? Does only half your family get protected? Do they get half protected? I mean, come on. What about people that can't give? They don't get protected? What if giving $5 for them is like $5 million for someone else? Do they have to figure out how to get $500? Come on. And by the way, the big disaster never happened that month. Anyway, the whole thing was bogus, false. So because I'd gotten enough flack for being on the show, and because I'd written for years against this manipulative garbage, remember 1989, my book came out, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. 1990, How Saved Darwin, with a whole chapter against the prosperity gospel and another whole chapter against carnal fundraising. So I've been on record against these things for years and years and years. So I wrote to him. I know that the letter was delivered to him. I don't know if he ever read it. I never got a response to it. But I urged him, respectfully, not yelling at him, not screaming at him. He showed me great respect when I was with him. It was very honoring towards me. So I reached out to him with respect. I urged him, please renounce this garbage. Please put a stop to it. It is a stench in God's nostrils. It is ugly for the body. Please put a stop to it. You're a leader. Come on. Let's work together and snuff this stuff out and set an example of integrity. So what if finances suffer? Ultimately, I believe God will meet the needs of those who walk in integrity. But so what? Finances suffer, you go on and you do the right thing. So I, for one, am glad to see him doing this. Was I an influence in it? I don't know if you ever read the letter. I don't know. God knows. Is it true that back in 1993, he renounced the carnal prosperity message? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You say, what happened since? I don't know. But he said some striking things that he didn't say more or do more because of his friends. He didn't want to offend his friends. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying this to condemn Benny Hinn. God knows how strong my letter to him was. And can I just tell you something? Dude, bro, why don't you do this? Why don't you do it? You need to. You have no idea what I do behind the scenes. You have no idea who I speak to behind the scenes. You have no idea what goes on. If I feel burdened and I feel to address something, the things that we deal with publicly, things that we have to deal with publicly, or we make into teachable moments. And open letters are often written when there's no access to the person or where they refuse to interact. We reach out, we ask. And then even with an open letter, I'm still going to try to be gracious and helpful and make everything a teachable moment and model the right way to do things. But I'm not here to please critics. I'm not here to prove something. But God knows the people I've spoken to privately and reached out to privately and addressed privately for many, many years. And I would rather, in the cases where the door has been open for dialogue and interaction, I'd rather keep that going over a period of time rather than jump on them every time they make a public statement and respond with mine. Keep reaching out to them privately to try to get a change of heart and mind so that in the end, you'll get a really good result. All right, so pray for me, friends, because we're going after a lot of stuff. And then I wrote Playing with Holy Fire. It came out last year. Where we blast a lot of this garbage again. But I want to make this a teachable moment for everybody. So please hear me. Please hear me, all right? If Benny Hinn could know what was right and not do it, feeling pressure from his friends when he's this big famous leader, what about everybody else? What about how many of you, how many times have I done this? How many of us have not done what we knew what was right because of peer pressure or because we didn't want to offend someone? I don't want to be like, I'm the big holy one and I'm the big righteous one and I'm more righteous than you are, so I can't do it that way. And because we don't want to seem like this holier than thou type, we compromise our convictions or we just want to be liked or we want to keep certain ministry doors open. How many of us have done carnal things? All right, another clip from Benny Hinn, clip number three.
The part that was troubling is the mentioning of amounts.
Right.
Connected to some blessing that should come back just because you gave it.
It's like a magic number.
It just got out of hand. You know, give a thousand or give whatever and get a hundredfold return, which I myself said, and my heart was saying different. Finally, I said, you know what? I can't do that. I just cannot. Because I'm thinking about that wonderful Christian sitting there. What if that hundredfold never came back? What does it do to their faith?
Wow.
What does it do to his future and her future?
Exactly. Aside from the fact it's a misreading of scripture, there's just this automatic thing. You put this amount in, you get that amount out. Yes, overall, there are sowing and reaping principles. Yes, overall, God's generous with generous people and stingy with stingy people. Overall, there are all those biblical principles. But this is not some mathematical formula. And God blesses us and helps us in many other ways. And you may give sacrificially financially and never see their financial reward, but you'll be blessed in other ways and able to help others in other ways. But the bottom line is you come up with these cheap gimmicks, these manipulative gimmicks, why to pay a TV bill, or worse still, put money in your own pocket. And then what comes out of it? People don't believe in God anymore because the thing didn't work. Or they had suffering when they were expecting just blessing, 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 blessing. Yes, I believe God's the healer. Yes, I believe God works miracles. We're going to have trouble, pain, difficulty, hardship in this world, and God, by his grace, will get us through it and make us better people through it and often work miracles along the way. One last clip from Benny Hinn, number four.
I want to make sure that the next 15 or 20 years of my life, that my message is the cross, the real call of my life. The message is salvation, pointing people to the Lord I love. Jesus is his name. To talk about the Holy Spirit and his power that we must have. And I want to be known for that. I don't want to be known, you know, the prosperity teacher. No, I don't want to be known as that. Prosperity is one thing in the Bible. There's a whole lot more about the Word of God than prosperity. But it's become a major issue now because of the gimmickry involved in it.
And the false theology that a proof of spirituality is financial success. God help Benny Hinn to bear fruits worthy of repentance, and may he lead many others out of this error by his example and by his word. And friends, don't compromise your convictions for the sake of your companions.
All right, so that was clear. If you weren't aware that I said those things publicly, they've been on our YouTube channel and site for 4 years. So has Benny Hinn brought forth fruit of repentance in this regard? Absolutely. Categorically, no. One example, we'll play another on the other side of the break, but just listen to this 10-second clip, which is relatively recent. Do we have it? Nope. All right, we'll get it, urging people to give $10,000 and all kinds of money and things like that. All right, let's listen now.
Yes, I'm going to ask many of you to give big amounts, $10,000, $5,000. Many of you will give $1,000 and more.
All right. There's more to that clip, but you get it. All right. The exact thing he said he would never do. And Justin Peters has reached out to me and others have reached out and said, he's doing this, he's doing this, he's doing this. There's no dispute. Now, if you go to Jesus Image, where Benny Hinn ministers regularly, you may have thousands of young people saying he preaches the cross, he preaches the blood of Jesus, he preaches holiness, we bring the presence of God experienced through his messages. I'm not denying any of that. I'm not denying any of that. I am saying his own words condemn him. He's done the exact opposite of what he has pledged never to do. He must repent and be accountable.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tribeta Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss for some foolish reason a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
No Pelea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Are you getting our Frontline newsletter? We send it out once a month, a quipping newsletter. It's informational. It's inspirational. Great testimony. Hebrew word study each month. Absolutely free. And then every week we send out, here are our latest articles, here are our latest videos. We want to be a resource, blessing, and help to you. And we're constantly dealing with issues that are relevant to the society, to the church, Israel, etc. So thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click right on the homepage, subscribe, and we'll send that right out to you, eager to pour into your lives. If you want to get in the conversation, again, I don't know that I'm going to get to calls, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. When I wrote to Benny Hinn in 2015, the so-called prophet that was raising money, asking you to give $500 and God would protect your family, you and your family, from a natural disaster that was coming in September of that year, one of the worst, most abusive fundraising things I've ever seen, was a gentleman named Brian Cairns. And when I wrote to Benny Hinn, I said, look, there's all this junk. There are people like Steve Muncy, who was on that Friday, instead of airing the Hyper Grace show when I was on Benny Hinn's broadcast, instead it was a Steve Muncy fundraiser. They played some old one. I remember watching a TV network where I had a Jewish outreach show on this Christian network. And I happened to flip it on one day just to see what was on that network. And it was Steve Muncy preaching. It was the agony of Gethsemane and this amazing message. And I thought, if he ties this in with the fundraiser, and he did. Now, if you give your money, I decided to go to that network, even though they funded this amazing Jewish outreach broadcast, which was an expensive proposition that they were funding. I decided to go to him and say, if that guy's on your network, I'm out. It turned out they had a cut. They had some budget cuts and they had to reduce their new programming. So I was one of those, but I was out anyway, unless that guy was out. Mike Murdoch, the same thing. Todd Kuhns, that they may have repented since, I don't know, okay? But this was garbage stuff. This is abusive stuff, and we'd see it on Christian TV. Thankfully, most of this stuff is gone from these Christian channels and charismatic. But I urge Benny Hinn, lead the way in bringing reformation here. Lead the way. Of course, Justin Peters has documented it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed in terms of the fundraising and other things. All right. So Justin wrote to me last year, and he said, please look at this clip. All right. And I'm going to say something a little bit later about critics. I'm not referring to Justin. We have profound differences theologically. He's always treated me respectfully and sought to be honorable in our dealings and whatever differences we have. It's not a matter of not trusting the other person's sincerity. I believe he's truly grieved over those who've been hurt. I believe he's truly grieved over those not healed at meetings, at quote, crusades, etc., that come in sick and leave sick after being told all these amazing things are going to happen. I believe it breaks his heart, and that's why he does what he does, okay? I said at the round table. I believe that, all right? And we were in touch just before the show. And I made clear, I'm not speaking negatively about him in the midst of our differences. That's not my point. Justin wrote to me and asked me to listen to a clip. I thought it was a long video, and I never got to it. He wrote again towards the end of the year. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was a short clip. And it was again, you know, you insult God if you don't give enough, et cetera, et cetera. So he asked me, he said to me, okay, what's your feeling on that based on this video and based on what he has said? So here's what I wrote back to Justin, okay? This is the end of last year, this December 8th of 2023. Hi, Justin. Thanks for reaching out again. My apologies for the non-reply, but I totally lost track of your email. It said, okay, go on, all of that. Come back from India. He would have loved it, except for the Pentecostal style of prayer. As for the video, answering you candidly and in confidence, I found it highly offensive, manipulative, and insulting. Do I believe that God rewards generous giving out of an unconstrained heart? Surely, as many verses affirm, such as 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. But this is the worst kind of fundraising, and I categorically reject it. Even if the scenario was that a bunch of wealthy Christians, that's the $10,000 clip I played for you that Justin had sent me, a bunch of wealthy Christians had gathered for a charitable event to raise funds to help others, which is why Benny Hinn himself was giving $10,000, quite a stretch for sure, but just to play the devil's advocate, I completely reject this approach on every level. Let's say he was part of my ministry team and I saw this happen. I would rebuke the behavior. I would forbid him from receiving offerings. I would want his own financial habits to be scrutinized. And if this was his only violation, I would require him to make public correction and demonstrate fruits of repentance. But again, if this was his only violation, I would not entirely disqualify him from ministry. If this was part of a larger pattern of financial manipulation, in particular for personal gain, absolutely, I would sit him down. So that's what I wrote back to Justin. And as some of this has now resurfaced, most particularly because of a four-hour-plus video compilation by Pastor Mike Winger, Mike and I were interacting last night about the video, I posted this on X, formerly Twitter, March 31st. So this is April 2nd now, so 3 days ago. If you tell believers that the key to their financial breakthrough is for them to give to your ministry that is sinful, abusive, and manipulative. Worse still, if you then use their money to enrich yourself, that is sickening and detestable. You will give account to God. You say, well, why haven't you been saying this all along? Okay, here's the deal. I wrote about this stuff decades ago. I made the most categorical, clear statements you could make. And then as cases come up where the shoe fits, wear it. It's that simple. However, I did something recently that reopened the door. And I'll take the heat for that, all right, in a moment. But bear in mind, when we were at the roundtable, Sam Storms, Justin Peters, Jim Osmond, and me, and to Justin and Jim's credit, they put out a video referencing me I thought was unfair. We did a Zoom together. They pulled the video, all right? So I don't have any difference in terms of are they trying to do the right thing in the right way in terms of our dealings, okay? Conclusions they come to, that's between them and God. They read me a list of this. And I said, categorically, because I've not done the research that Justin's done, and he reiterated to me that research he did on Benny Hinn before his conversion and after, he stands by every word of it. So he's on record for that. He's done 100 times, 1,000 times more research than I have, but I can't go by someone else's research unless I check. If you're going to make public statements, you got to check. You got to verify, right? Obviously. When they read their statements, categorically, I said, if all that's true, then that person is a false teacher. That person is a heretic. That person should not be in ministry. Categorically. So that's it. Where do I stand? That's where I stand. If all that's true, that's where I stand. But here's what happened. I've been challenging critics on unequal weights and measures. I've been challenging people say, you give someone a pass today if it's in your camp, but if someone's not your camp, you don't. Or someone from the past, you give them a pass, well, the products of their time. But today, no, you don't use that same standard. So someone had sent me or tagged me, and I don't see most things tagged to my attention, obviously, in social media. But I happen to see this, and they were referencing me, and it was showing a Facebook page, and here's Benny Hinn. It's a half-hour video, and he's and it says, buy heavenly oil for your lamp, donate here. So I got on the air, and I said, hey, actually, I watched the video. High speed, you know, double speed, of course. I watched it. It was just about Jesus' image and the hunger, the young people there for God and for worship, etc. And at the end, here's the offering. It's like 10 seconds. It's nothing. It's just, here's how you donate. And I said, whoever put that caption up there, it's idiotic. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what it means, but it's stupid. It's wrong. I reject it. But he probably doesn't even know it's there. So messed up church, just put the graphic up. I didn't realize this was Steve Kozar until someone posted it. And interaction Stephen and I had privately has been gracious. I've had profound differences with things he's posted. But in any case, he puts a graphic up, and I don't like the clickbait because it's misleading that, you know, here's what Benny Hinn's doing and looks fine to me, okay? But he plays the clip for, if you actually watch the whole thing, he says, Dr. Brown, you didn't have time to watch videos, but you watched that one. What about the other stuff? Fair enough. So I open the door, and the other stuff confirms 100% that Benny Hinn said he'd never do XYZ again, and he did XYZ again. I open this door. I'm now making it clear. Hey, friends. Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up, saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video, audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount, our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. You know, earlier, as you were listening, there was an ad from our co-sponsor, Trivita. They've donated very generously to help us reach more people on radio, get to more stations. And you may have heard James Robison, dear friend of mine, talking about this product, Dopalea, that he's taken, et cetera. James is the greatest fundraiser I know. If you needed to raise $1 billion to feed the poor around the world, he could raise it. James once said to me, it may have been public or in a private conversation, I forget, but it was in the last year, he said he has never once in his entire life ever given to God's work, ever with the thought of what he could get back in terms of financial reward. For he said it has never entered his mind once in all of his decades. He's 80 years old now. in all of his decades of giving, it never once entered his mind that he was giving in order to get. So I want to do a whole show next week on prosperity. What does the Bible say about provision, about generosity? What's the carnal part? What's the wrong part? I want to do a whole show on that just next week. I've done it in the past, but it's been years. I want to do it, read a lot of quotes that may surprise you from biblical scholars and church leaders through history. So we're going to do that, God willing, one day next week. And I want to do kind of an illustrated talk tomorrow. So those listening, I'll do my best to paint a picture. Those watching, you'll see it all. But it's going to be a friendly challenge to my critics. A friendly challenge, not hostile, not nasty, a friendly challenge. And I think it's going to help give you some perspective on what we do, what's priority, and why we speak what we speak. First, though, out of the 4+ hours that Mike Winger put together, and that's for you to evaluate, Mike's heart is broken in terms of what he's saying. He's not coming in a hostile, stone-throwing way. He hopes he's wrong in terms of his views of Benny Hinn and the very strong statements he makes on the video in terms of him repenting or he's going to hell, etc. So he's not sitting there with glee, throwing stones and laughing. He feels pain and grief over this. You have to evaluate the video, look at it, determine what's fair, what's not, what's taken in context or not. Is there a larger context? Can there be any context? You evaluate it. He's not denying that people have been healed at Benny Hinn meetings. He's not denying that. He's not denying that people have encountered Jesus or that he's preached many wonderful messages that have led people to the Lord. In his mind, he is self-deceived, not saved. Justin Peters would say the same thing. Others would say the same thing. I'm not going there. That's simply not going there. What I'm saying is what's clear where I see repentance needs to take place. Okay, but to underscore this, there's a short compilation, a little over 2 minutes long, of what was said in the past and what's said in the present. And this is what the Messed Up Church video did as well. So again, I happened to one video I watched, and my point was to say, hey, the caption is totally damning, but if you watch the video, there's nothing wrong in the fundraising. Okay, fair enough. I watched that. Why didn't I watch others? Fair enough. Okay, I take the hit. I still don't like the clickbait, misleading title on the Messed Up Church video, but that's what people do, whatever. But yeah, guilty as charged in terms of I watched that. I didn't watch others. Fair enough. Fair enough. If I'm going to stop and watch one, here's the other evidence. So Stephen Kozar presented some of it on that video. Fair enough. There it is. And here's just a little compilation that Mike Winger posted on Facebook. A little over 2 minutes. Let's listen.
I will never again ask you to give 1,000 or whatever amounts because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it.
If you want a financial miracle, you act financially. You literally give, and then God will give you back way more than you can ever expect.
I think it's an offense to the Lord. I think that hurts the gospel.
So I'm going to ask you tonight to give to the Lord's work. And I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, here's what I am believing for. Giving gets you out of trouble, even legal trouble. Giving has power.
That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. I think that's buying the gospel.
How many of you sweet people need a financial miracle now? Stretch your hands towards me. Come on. Lord, in Jesus' name, grant their desire. And Lord, we agree that financial need will be met.
If I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it.
So go ahead and sow your seed. Let's just believe God that every one of you that are believing God for that financial need to be met, it will be met.
Because it's manipulation. It's gimmickry to tell someone you give 1,000, you got to get 100-fold. What if they don't get 100-fold, and most do not? What happens to their walk with the Lord and their faith? Think about that. The damage, the question. No, never, never again. because when that thing doesn't happen, when someone gives and it doesn't come back, there's hurt, there's damage. It hurts the gospel. It hurts the message. It hurts the kingdom. And Steve, I want no part of that.
But before you sow, tell God what you want. And tell him when. Tell him when. He'll do it every single time.
The gospel is not for sale. And prosperity is not for sale.
All right. So can we come now and pass the offering buckets?
Okay, so that was, you know, back and forth. If you're watching, it's 2019, 2023. And then the Steve you mentioned was Steve Strang in an interview that they did. So, there it is. His own words are condemning him in terms of what he's saying. Now, listen, what if you truly believe that as you give, that you truly, genuinely believe, based on Scripture, that giving releases things? And as you give in faith, that God releases blessings? Okay. Why does it have to be to my ministry? Why can't it be to your local church? Why can't it be to help feed the poor somewhere? Why does it have to be to my ministry that you have to give that money for the miracle to happen? Oh, okay, big, big question, big, big issue, obviously. And then on every level, the manipulative nature of it, okay, I'm in debt. Why am I in debt? Maybe I'm in debt because of bad spending habits. Maybe I'm in debt because I always have to have something new. Maybe I'm in debt because I'm irresponsible. Boy, if I can just give this money, a miracle can happen. Then I'll get out of debt reduction. And then if I give this amount, like some of the corrupt stuff I've seen with some of the men I mentioned previously. The Lord showed me 777. It's July 7th of 2007. That's said three sevens. If you give seven, if you give right now and you'll give $777, you'll cancel your mortgage and so on. All this nonsense. You say, well, Dr. Brown, why are you just talking about this now? I've renounced this stuff, denounced this stuff, spoken against this over the decades. And it's just not, I'm never around it. I'm never in circles that do this. So here, 1989, the end of the American Gospel Enterprise. Notice the title of the book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, based on this anonymous quote that what began as a movement in Jerusalem became a philosophy in Greece, a monument in Rome, a culture in Europe, and an enterprise in America. So I denounce some of the junk in there. And then how saved are we? This is 1990. There's a whole chapter on the prosperity trap where I talk about the difference between generosity and provision and this carnal message that you judge spirituality by your possessions, that Jesus died to make you financially rich. And then a whole chapter on manipulative, sinful fundraising. I mean, real strong terms. Michael, I didn't read those books. Okay, well, I can't make you read what I wrote, right? But it's there. And then just larger issues, whatever happened to the power of God, 1991. What's the subtitle? This is two books, the one that I'm holding up here. The subtitle of whatever happened to the power of God is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count. I wrote that in 1991 with strong rebukes for my own people. And then 2018, Playing with Holy Fire, a wake-up call to the Pentecostal charismatic church. And there's a whole chapter in this book about unaccountable prophecy. Examples would be on the Mike Winger video, Benny Hinn prophesying that the homosexual community of America would be destroyed by fire. What was the year going to be, 1994 or 1995? I mean, worse than the false prophecy was the people cheering when they heard it. And he said, it's not going to be by AIDS, it's going to be by fire. And then the death of Fidel Castro at a certain time, and that didn't happen. I'm not condemning him for being wrong, but there has to be accountability. I have a whole chapter on unaccountable prophets in here, a whole chapter on mercenary prophets in the book. He said, I didn't know. Well, I wrote it. We wrote it. I've shouted these things out. And a whole chapter on abusive leadership, and a whole chapter on the pep talk prosperity gospel. This is to my fellow Pentecostal charismatics. In my book, Hyper Grace, I name names. I document it. I name names. I call out those I differ with. Some brothers in the Lord where we have different interpretations, I lay out the differences. Some I really call out and rebuke for heretical stuff. So that's a whole book, and it's basically all charismatics, my brothers and sisters, or the false brothers and sisters that I'm calling out in hyper grace. Okay, that's one thing. And then just like Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he addressed the issues. He didn't name the super apostles, the false apostles. He addressed the issues and the people who I was who he was talking about. So I addressed the issues in the book. And when a shoe fits, you wear them. And then at appropriate times, I have, for example, my open letter to Joel and Victoria Osteen, which is what, 9 years ago, something like that? Open letter, open appeal to Joel and Victoria Osteen. And that alone may have been shared 500,000 times. Or when Creflo Dollar was raising tens of millions of dollars for his new private plane, I wrote an article why Creflo's not getting any of my dollars. Or during the failed Trump prophecies with videos, some of you watch them, where I call out Kat Kerr or Robin Bullock or Hank Kuhneman, tried to reach some of them privately, unsuccessfully. I mean, I was shunned from, my reaching out was not reciprocated. And wrote about it in my book, Political Seduction of the Church, naming names, Johnny Enlow and others, naming names, playing clips on the air. And when the New York Times asked me about it, I said it's the greatest deception I've ever seen in my entire believing life, almost 50 years at that point in the Lord. So I do address these things as God brings them to my attention, as I feel burdened to. Otherwise, I've addressed the issues. We've laid these things out for years. Now, in the light of the roundtable discussion, in light of the fact that I brought this up with a video clip the other day, which Messed Up Church jumped on, and then Mike Winger's video, now is an appropriate time for me to address this specifically in this way. And I trust I've made myself clear enough in what I'm saying. I trust my statements have been plain and definite and unambiguous. As to judging the man's soul, no, God's his judge. That's my line that I draw right here.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. All right, a few more things to say. Number one, I'm not saying anything today to satisfy critics or to prove something or to in response to critics. It's simply a right time to address things. And I'm making no attempt whatsoever to satisfy those who would say, well, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? I addressed this on the air the other day. I tried to be as respectful and gracious as I could be. I addressed this on the air. You can watch the video, Why Don't Cater to the Critics. And when I said, and I explained, I used the word critics, not in an attacking way. I do believe some are destructive, and I'm going to address that in a moment. But this was not meant to be an attack back. It was simply to explain. And aside from what I'll get into tomorrow, which is why you'll understand, I don't spend all my time dealing with the issues I'm dealing with today. And it's going to make a lot of sense to you. And I hope it even challenge you in your own life going after the Lord. All right. So please, if you're here today, join me tomorrow. Same time, same place. Okay. One of the reasons, though, on my list of why I don't cater to the critics is that it's a black hole. In other words, it's never sufficient. Okay, you call that this one, what about this one? And everybody has their own list. I mean, you don't know the people writing to me and posting on social media, and any of us these days on social media, you get more comments and things you can respond to. You know, none of us are celebrities. We're just all servants just trying to honor the Lord and please him, right? Nobody's anybody, no big shots here. We just want Jesus to be exalted, want all attention to be drawn to him. And I'm not the corrector in chief. It's not my job to go around and this is wrong, 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 and that's how I spend my time. God didn't call me to do that. And most of the correction I do, I try to do it behind the scenes, directly reaching out to people, and we've gotten great results. We've had people really repent. We've had people correct things and post videos saying where they're wrong and or just otherwise make theological changes. So that's always the goal, wherever we can do that, right? But everybody has their own list. Well, oh, no, but you didn't call this one out. You didn't call this one out. You didn't call this one out. Well, what about this one? What about this one? So that may be their conviction. You may feel the same about all of them. That's just fine. But my goal is not to try to satisfy anyone except the Lord and please and honor him and serve all of you in the Lord. That's the goal. But I'm not trying to please you or win your favor. Well, 100% is what it is. But with every fiber of my being, I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. As surely as I know Jesus is risen, I know the Holy Spirit is working miracles on the earth today. And I don't just mean in conversion. I mean in healing the sick and delivering people from demons and bringing supernatural prophetic words. In fact, I believe one of the more bizarre teachings in church history is that these things have ceased. And that future generations, if the Lord does not return in our lifetimes, future generations will look back at cessationism and scratch their heads and think, how could people say that? It would be like living by the ocean and saying there's no water, or living in the midst of torrential downpour and saying there is no rain. God's moving powerfully, wonderfully, in documented ways around the world, in extraordinary ways. And 99.9% of it is not on TV and is not with crowds. It's Jesus working among the poor and the hurting and the needy and showing his love. And look, I've been to India by God's grace 29 times. And the ministry there, working with the poorest of the poor and planting churches in unreached tribal regions, 10,000 churches in unreached tribal regions. And people we've laid hands on, personally laid hands on, sent out, but have been martyred. And one of the most sacred things I ever did, and one of the most moving, was washing the feet of a martyr's widow. We'd sent her husband out to preach the ministry there, and I come once a year for graduation, and we'd sent him out to preach, and he was killed by Hindu radicals, and they told his wife and kids, if you say anything to the police, we'll kill you. And we did a foot washing service for pastors that were going back into persecuted areas. They knew they were gonna suffer, they might die. It's very sacred. And then these two widows and a daughter whose dad was killed, They were there, and the women were going to wash the women's feet and the men's feet. And I asked, could I just please wash this martyr's widow's feet? And trust me, in those circles, you despise the American carnal gospel. I brought people to India with me to say, this is the gospel here, not this junk that we get so much of in America, okay? So my heart's burned for that, And that's where I'm trying to honor and please the Lord. But I know people that are godly that critics slam and say they're not even saved. I know people that live sacrificially and serve the Lord and have done more to help the poor and reach Jesus than probably 100 of us put together. And of the worst critics, 10 million of them put together, okay? And I'm not, when I say that, if I wanted to say something about Justin, I would. I told him before the show, anything I say about you today on the show, sir, is with respect, okay? And that's from my heart, in the midst of our differences. But there are some critics, folks. If I focused on them before God, God is my witness. I'm not taking his name in vain. I'm not bearing false witness. God as my witness. There are critics out there. If I gave my attention and energy to focusing on them, I could rip them to smithereens. I have seen lies, not opinion, lies posted. For example, the lie that I have endorsed Benny Hinn, that lie, posted. The lie that I defended Todd Bentley when I've been an arch critic. Just down the list. I mean, falsehoods about the past. I've lived there. I know factually. Or about colleagues of mine. Lies. Do they know they're lying? Or they're just believing lies? Doesn't matter. They're bearing false witness. I've seen horrific methodology. I've seen butchering of Scripture. And that, I'm saying, is a serious student of Scripture. Okay? I've seen this junk. And if I wanted to just focus on tearing them down, I could rip them to shreds, not to mention the lack of love, not to mention the severe mockery of beautiful things of the Spirit and the defaming of men and women who are closer to Jesus than some of them might ever be unless they experience radical repentance in their lives. But God has not called me to spend my time tearing down the hypocritics. And there's some that I said, I will interact with you if you just tell me who you are behind the scenes. I don't know if it's an 18-year-old kid straight out of high school just messing with a website or some defrocked pastor that committed adultery 3 times, is out of ministry, but now he's got a website. I've had no idea who the people even are. And they're blasting away. And I said, I'm happy to interact with you, even though you're lying about me. I'm happy to interact if you just tell me who you are. And they won't even do that, okay? So that's not my focus. That's not my calling. That's not my burden. But if I directed my attention there, I could be a destructive force in tearing down hypocritics left and right. What I will say is for all of us, let the judgment start in our own house. For all of us. If I focused on the cessationist camp, the anti-charismatic camp, I could write book after book after book about spiritual coldness, about spiritual pride, about lack of evangelism, about minimal numbers of conversion, about people in the pews sitting there bound by sin, and wrong theology. If that was my focus, I've written these books just specifically focusing on my own house and then many related to it and scores of articles and videos. Why? Because that's where I live. That's what I'm around. That's what I'm grieved by. That's what's so often broadcast and exported, the worst of the worst around the world. That's why my appeal to Pastor MacArthur was, hey, come alongside. Let's help the charismatic church. You think the vast, vast majority of them are not even saved. I categorically differ with you. And I've been around the world to work with so many high-quality people. I consider it an honor even to serve with them. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. And most of their names you've never heard of and don't even know. But I said, come along, help the charismatic preachers learn to be expository preachers and things like that. Let's work together for the good of the body. But my main focus is going to be in my own house. The error, the sin, the garbage, the carnality in charismatic Pentecostal circles. I urge each of you to focus on your own house as well. It's not to say you can't raise other issues. Not to say you can't address other things and call them out, especially if you're burdened to or if they're prominent and destructive. Let's focus on our own house. Let's focus on our own lives, all right? And I have rebuked, confronted, as much as most people ever know, I've lost friends over things many times over the years because I felt I have to do what's right publicly or privately. And many of you, the same thing. I'm no superstar. You've done the exact same thing, all right? And you've done it in your church, and it's cost you. You've done it in your place of business, it's cost you. You've done it in your school, and it's cost you. But what else are we going to do? We have to honor the Lord and do what's right. But above all, the number one person I'm concerned about is me, my repentance, my holiness, junk in my life, my immaturity, areas where I'm displeasing the Lord that I'm not even aware of, blind spots that I have. And pray for me, but pray for yourself as well, that we can honor Jesus, that we can glorify him. And where you see Benny Hinn has sinned, where his own words condemn him, pray for his real repentance. What would it look like? It would mean sitting down with other leaders that he respects and saying, let's look at this. You've said this was wrong. You knew it's wrong. You've gone on and done the same thing. There must be repentance. There must be accountability. If money's been raised wrong, where has the money gone? How has it been used? Questions that need to be asked for sure. And then bearing fruit in repentance is doing the opposite and fixing things and demonstrating a sincerely changed heart. But for all of us, I want to leave with this encouragement. Let's get on our own faces and let's say, God, search me out. Search me out. Turn the spotlight of your spirit on me and send the refiner's fire to me. That continues to be my prayer. Lord, let the junk be purged out in the name of Jesus. You can't